sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, weeping and gnashing of teeth, eternal fire and everlasting darkness. We typically hear these images when our Lord speaks of the punishments of sinners, those who have rejected God, and so those who have willfully chosen an eternity of suffering by their sin. Yet, in this parable, these images are not present. Instead, we are related the phrase, "handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." The sinner in this parable is to be handed over to the torturers, an image which is indeed not so far from what we are accustomed to. Nevertheless, it is curious that the wicked servant be handed over to the torturers only until he will have repaid what he owed his king. In other words, once his debt acquitted, his suffering would cease. Now, this is where the parable for us may appear peculiar. Is the sinner no longer to suffer eternally? Might he just suffer for a little while and then be forgiven? Why is it that other parables speak of eternal punishment? Dear faithful, our God is a merciful God, just as the king of the parable is a merciful king. The king in this parable, who represents God, forgave the debt that was owed to him. Unlike God, though, the king could not read into the heart of his servant to see that he still harbored rancor and an unforgiving spirit towards his fellow servant, from whom he was owed a certain small quantity. The original debt, the 10,000 talents, was indeed forgiven, and would have remained forgiven had the wicked servant been not wicked, but himself merciful. And so when the king discovered this malicious disposition, the full force of the original debt fell upon the wicked servant as a sort of new punishment for his unforgiving spirit. Now, applying the parable to ourselves, our king is God himself. He knows us better than ourselves. He searches the depths of our hearts. He knows when we truly wish to be forgiven and we truly wish to forgive our neighbor their trespasses. When we go to confession with a contrite heart, our sins are truly forgiven us. But sometimes we go to confession harboring a secret, yet willful, unforgiving spirit towards our neighbor when he has perhaps offended us, treated us poorly, or been for us a scandal. We nevertheless receive absolution and our sins are forgiven us. There is yet still that willful, unforgiving spirit that lingers in our hearts, spirit that will indeed cause us to suffer other punishments, for we had come to God to ask his forgiveness of debts undoubtedly far greater than those our neighbor might have owed us, and yet we refuse him our forgiveness. That does not mean that our sins have not been forgiven, unless, of course, our unforgiving spirit had been to the extent of hate, of excluding our neighbor from divine charity, desiring, dare I say, their eternal perdition, which, by the way, is a mortal sin in itself, and so must be regretted and confessed. No, in this parable we are talking of that unforgiving spirit that stems from our pettiness, our pride that desires that at all costs we maintain a certain superiority over our neighbor, to push him lower at any opportunity by lording over him his own faults. Dear faithful, while this unforgiving spirit is not itself always a mortal sin, it is a considerable obstacle for our sanctification. And speaking of sanctification, we had asked at the beginning of the sermon why the punishment of the wicked servant was not eternal. To answer, it is because his unforgiving spirit was again petty and prideful. For 100 denarii, or pence, is not an enormous quantity. I did a little research, and it comes out to $178 today. I'm not sure if that counts inflation. And so those 100 denarii are nothing considered to the 10,000 talents he owed to the king, amount that comes out to $10,680,000,000. He was not willing to forgive such a small thing of his neighbor because he had a disordered attachment. That attachment, though not an absolute, absolute obstacle to heaven, must still be corrected, since, as it is written in Revelations, nothing clean will enter heaven. And the time to make right this wrong will not be eternity. Yet we have a choice. Either we will atone for our sins here in this valley of tears by acts of forgiveness and acts of penance, in which case we continue to merit for ourselves and to grow in our love of God, or we will do so in purgatory, where we will be handed over to the torturers. In purgatory, there is no more merit to be won. We can no longer increase our love of God, our charity. We are forever fixed in the state in which our soul was found at our death. And so the sufferings of purgatory are terribly increased and caused by the rigorous, vindictive justice of God. Perhaps there is even reason to believe that we will suffer all the punishments due to our sins, of which we had asked for God's forgiveness, but which we have not forgiven our neighbor. In other words, either we pay but a little here on earth by practicing humility and forgiveness, or we pay greatly in purgatory. Finally, let us ask Our Lady, Mother of Divine Grace and Queen of Peace, to grant us the grace to forgive the trespasses of our neighbor, just as we ask God daily to forgive us our trespasses. If we ask this of her in all sincerity of heart, she will without a doubt grant us the grace to be honest Christians who seek not our will, but the will of our Father who is in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.